Now, very interesting piece written by Conor Pope in the Irish Times of a story from one of his readers who contacted him. And what it's described as is it's a story that outlines what is really a sick car insurance system in this country, particularly when it comes to insurance companies and claims. Don't know if you read it, but my next guest is with us on the line, has contacted us in relation to personal injuries and in relation to the Irish Times article around our insurance system. Her name is Scarlett O'Sullivan. She's with Callan Tansey Solicitors in Tralee, and she's a litigation solicitor. Scarlett, good morning to you, and thanks for joining us in the programme.
Good morning, Gerry. Thank you.
Just to I suppose to paraphrase it for our listeners, this article, if you hadn't read it, it outlines an instance between two people who knew each other, and it was one woman whose her name was Claire for the purposes of the article, and basically she was parking and she lightly scraped the other car. A small scrape on the car was the only level of damage. She was in first gear, she wasn't travelling fast, there was no bumper damage, there was no dents in the car, just a small scrape. She contacted nobody else in the other car as well at the same time. She contacted the owner of the other car and they agreed a price of €260 once she had gone to a garage for the fix. But she was then contacted by the other person who said that they had to replace their car seat, their baby or the child seat in the car at a cost of something like €340, €350. Now, Claire rejected this and said, look, sorry, this is a scrape for paintwork fixing. I agreed to the €260. And I'm not paying for the car seat. Then the other person contacted their insurance company and a claim was made. Now, Claire's insurance company, she contacted them because she felt this might happen, explained the whole situation for half an hour over the phone, talked about agreeing to pay the 260, not agreeing to pay the car seat because there was no physical damage other than the scrape to the paint job being done in the car. In the end, through the jigs and the reels, her own insurance company totally ignored her and went off and settled for ultimately €1,600, which was about €1,300 over the real cost of the damage. Now, that's described as a system that's totally broken. What's your view on that story? And obviously, Claire is going to have to face an increased premium for that damage, which she feels was totally not handled properly by her insurance company.
My view is that this situation is quite common, Gerry. I've had many clients come in to me asking what can be done when they're unhappy with how a claim is being investigated or processed by their own insurance company. The difficulty you have is that once you report a claim to your insurance company, as you're meant to do as per the T's and C's of your insurance contract with your insurance company, they take over the processing and management of that claim, and they carry out all of the negotiations, and clients often feel very much disenfranchised by this, especially in a situation like in this article where they feel that the accident in inverted commas was minor and that the amount being paid out then on their premium was far too high and excessive. They feel very excluded in the process, but unfortunately this is what you sign up to with your premium. There's very little you can do. Long ago, it would have been more common for people maybe to sort it out amongst themselves, as these two individuals tried to do initially. But unfortunately, once it goes through the insurance company, it's good luck. You have very little control and input. It's the same, say, for example, for businesses as well, you know, where there might be a slip and fall where they feel that the...
Yeah, and we've heard that from Kerry businesses before. There's
exactly.
A slip and a fall. Claim is made. They hear nothing until the next year when their premium has gone through the roof. And they're told, oh yeah, by the way, we paid out €10,000 to this person without even contacting you.
Absolutely. And it's shocking for them because they often think, well, you know, or they might provide CCTV footage to the insurance company and say, look, we believe that there's at least contributory negligence or at least a very good defence here. But they have no control whatsoever. And then they're faced with a no claims bonus is gone and the premium rockets. So it's very difficult. And I suppose insurance, like premiums, affect everybody from your car owner, the business owner, to even, you know, if you have children in creche, everybody knows that creches are struggling at the moment to get insurance. So it affects everybody. And I suppose articles like this strike a chord for us all because, I mean, I can't remember the last time I got a car insurance quote that was the same as the year before. Every year it goes up. House insurance, don't even talk to me.
But, that's not under control, you know, at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, you know, no, but when there's a serious road traffic accident, that's what your insurance policy is there for. And I think certainly I would find with clients, you know, if they contact me, even if it's a case of that they say, look, perhaps I think I was at fault, you know, this is what I've done, am I right to contact my insurance company? And I would advise them, of course, but you know, ultimately, I think for clients, it's when there's these kind of unmeritorious claims, that's when it's difficult to stomach. And I think for the general public, it's difficult to stomach because insurance companies are blaming everybody for premiums going up except themselves. You know, it's either the lawyers or the courts or it's fraudulent claims. But the stats actually don't stack up at all. Personal injuries claims have reduced by 41% since 2019, which is really significant. Premiums haven't gone down. They're still continuing to rise. Also, like, the government has set in place the Garda Fraud Investigations Unit to try and facilitate reports of fraudulent claims by insurance companies. But in my research, Gerry, there was only 98 reports of insurance fraud by insurance companies last year alone, bearing in mind that there was 18,500 claims made to the PIAB, so the stats don't stack up.
Let me put this point to you, though, Scarlett, in relation to insurance fraud. Insurance fraud is where, I'd imagine, there's an outright lying or a claim, or somebody gets in a car, pretends to have an accident, says, my neck hurts, and then they're seen on YouTube or on Facebook dancing the following week, and it comes up in court. In those instances, we've all heard the stories of that. There is another cost, though, and it happened in this example, and it's that somebody makes, as you mentioned, an unmeritorious claim. Not exactly, well, I suppose it is fraud, but it's not as outright, like, oh, my car seat was damaged. That has to be paid for. It's a health and safety thing. And all of a sudden, €1,000 gone whistling.
Yeah.
How much of that is going on because of our system?
I think it's more common than we realise. Obviously, I generally represent clients from a plaintiff perspective, but I would have, you know, my old established clients who would ring me, you know, with concerns. But there's very little can be done. And I suppose it's why, you know, businessmen like Pat McDonough with Supermax, they self-insure because they found that it's much more efficient for and economical for them. But not everybody can do that, you know what I mean?
Okay. But Scarlett, stay with me on the line. We've a listener who's got in touch with us with a WhatsApp voice note, their own experience of a claim made against her, which she believes was exaggerated, and unhappy with the insurance company's response. Have a listen.
Morning, Gerry. Just in relation to the insurance claims, I had a lady that claimed against my insurance for an incident that was clearly her fault. Even though I was reversing out of a car park space, I had witnesses to state that she was flying so fast in the car park that she sped around the corner, and I couldn't even see her in my mirrors, and like that the warning signals at the back didn't even indicate that her car was there. I hit between the driver's door and her door, and I was told that when it was reported to my insurance, I'd taken all the photographs, and I had a witness that came over to ask me was I okay, because I had two kids in the car. The witness that came over to ask me was I okay, and stated that she would have no problem coming forth, and even if there was a court case, to state that she witnessed the lady that was speeding at high speed through the car park. Now, this lady claimed against my insurance for a ridiculous amount of money. It was in the thousands for a door, even though her car was falling apart. There was several bumps, there was rust through the car. Basically, she claimed more money than what the car was worth for basically two panels that could have been pushed out in the door, even though she wanted new doors. The insurance company, I showed them the photographic evidence. I stated that I had a witness, and the insurance company wouldn't contact the witness, nor would they take the photographs into account, settle the claim, even though I didn't want it to be settled. And like that, then I was not made aware of the amount, only my insurance a claim was brought against me. I lost my no claims bonus. I think it was 75% or no claims bonus for that year. And even though it wasn't my fault, and that is so typical of insurance companies not wanting to pay out. Typical of insurance companies.
Yeah, so there you go. That's one listener, a similar story, not happy at all, Scarlett. It seems like, you know, insurance companies are taking the path of least resistance, or some of them in these cases, whenever they face a claim.
I think some of them are, for claims like this, they probably, it's like nuisance claims, they just decide that it's easier to, you know, not to fight them and to accept them. But for this, that lady in particular, if she had damage to her own vehicle, I would wonder why she hadn't sued herself, if you understand what I mean. And then she might have had a little bit more, she would have been in a much better position to negotiate, but that's a matter perhaps for another day. But and that's just with my lawyer's hat on. But no, I think though these types of, this is happening very frequently, and it's very frustrating for people, because everybody's trying to, you know, make sure that they're insured, pay for their premiums. We need to be on the road. Our infrastructure doesn't mean that everybody can avail of public transport, unfortunately, especially if you live in rural Ireland. And it's very unfair on that lady.
This is an ongoing cost. Yeah, and it's a cost to her now going forward for the rest of her, her time paying insurance to the car. Let me put this point to you. Insurance Ireland didn't comment, didn't respond to Conor Pope's piece about what insurance companies are or aren't doing in this area, but they've talked before about the legal costs. Now, reports from the Central Bank of Ireland last year said legal fees made up 33% of the total cost of settlement for motor claims litigated in the first 6 months of last year. Central Bank's National Claims Insurance Database confirmed that. The average charge for legal fees in these cases rose from 23,000 in 2018 to 29,000 almost in 2022, an increase in 25.2%. Insurance company pointing the finger squarely at your profession, Scarlett, saying you're not helping the situation.
What's new?
What's your response?
I'm well
used to it.
Do
the figures not back that up?
The figures are there, but what I would say to you is that for, you know, for a lot of personal injury claims at the moment, a lot is being fought as well. Unlike this type of a material damage claim, there doesn't. So, for example, in the New Irish Times article and the voice message from that listener, but a lot of personal injuries claims are being fought. They're not being settled early. Insurance companies are for other matters. You know, if it does get to a certain stage, you know, the costs have to be paid. Like, solicitors work for free for a number of years and invest a huge amount of time and money into cases. They're entitled to be paid for that. You know, no more than insurance companies are paid. And certainly if an insurance company isn't happy with the legal cost or a bill that's furnished by a plaintiff solicitor, they're entitled for that to be reviewed, and it can go to a legal cost accountants review them, and it certainly then can go through.
Yeah, isn't there more costs associated with that, which add up to, you take the cost, you take the amount of delay that's there in our legal system, the lack of courts, the lack of judges we need to process these cases in a timely fashion, all of a sudden the insurance company puts up their hands and says, you know what, it's just easier to settle and we'll put the cost on the customer and they lose.
It depends on the insurance company. I would say yes and no to that question. But also what you've seen now with the judicial guidelines is once, say for example, if you have a client and their injuries, the doctors are advising the client that look, you're nearly recovered, or you're 50% recovered, or I believe that you're going to be okay. In that situation, you can advise a client as per the judicial guidelines, you know, very clearly as to what their claim might be worth, and it will be very clear for an insurance company to see what that claim is worth. The difficulty arises is that where you have a client who has ongoing issues, genuinely where the doctors, not the solicitors, the doctors that are advising, listen, this needs to be reviewed in 6 months' time, or this needs to be reviewed in 12 months' time, this person is still undergoing pain injections, perhaps for their back, or they're still in physio. It's very difficult in those circumstances for a solicitor to say, or a barrister, listen, this is what your claim is worth under the judicial guidelines. Especially if you also have a client who's saying, I'm in agony, I still can't work. Do you understand what I mean? So those types of claims where the injuries are significant, yes, they tend to take time because they have to, because you're waiting to see, well, look, what is the damage done? How can I advise my client as to what this case should settle for? You know, but most cases, I would say every client, most clients that I have, they give the money back just to be back to normal. Like, you know, especially when you're talking about long-term back injuries.
When it comes to personal injuries, for sure. Final points, Gareth, do you think, and the new book of Quantum came out, the new judicial guidelines, there's been changes to the Personal Injuries Assessment Board process as well, all of that done by the government trying to bring down these costs. Do you think there's an issue of institutional memory here? Or a refusal to, or a reluctance to adapt to a new way of doing things for people in the insurance industry? That this is the way it's always been done. It's been done for the last 20 years like this. They're not moving quick enough to change with the way the system has been changed, either to challenge cases or to go a different way than just settling to avoid the hassle.
Absolutely. Like, there has to be some change, and there also has to be some monitoring of insurance companies and what they are doing with premiums and how they justify in premium hikes. Do you understand what I mean? And the settlements. Yeah. I think I know Piers Doherty, the Sinn Féin TD, has done a huge amount of work in this area, and he's proposed a new bill to government where the insurance company would be forced to report to the central bank detailing how they've passed savings on to customers, so they will be monitored a little bit more closely. And I think if there's more transparency, we all will feel a little bit better.
Yeah, more information from everyone on it.
Absolutely, knowledge is power.
Yeah, Scarlett, listen, thanks for talking to us about that. It's an interesting discussion, interesting debate. We'll continue as the premiums go up or the claims are settled without people's permission and all of that. But thanks for giving us your view this morning.
No problem. Thank you, Gerry. Great show. Thank you.